You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Kristen.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live This Week. I'm your host, Dario Kristen, and here joining me are Aaliyah Cruz.
Hi, everybody.
Jesse J.
Yo, 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 yo.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
And we also have a very special guest in the house today. He's going to be on the new season of The Game on BET. Mr. J. Ellis is in the house.
Stop it.
On today's show, we're going to cover a variety of different topics, including Terrence Howard versus Marvel, Beyonce's future of running the world, LaToya Jackson versus Omarosa, and NYPD's stop and frisk in the news, and a lot of trouble and a lawsuit. But first, I want to remind everybody to go to www.blackhollywoodlive.com and answer our new buzz meter question of the week, which is, should celebrities out other celebrities as gay? There was a big topic about that this week because Claudia Jordan, who we know from Celebrity Apprentice, was on the Breakfast Club show this week, and she was interviewing, and she outed Suge Knight as being gay. Mm-hmm. And in that retaliation of the conversation, they also mentioned the Breakfast Club that Ray J was gay. Mm. So there's been a lot of allegations this week.
Mm-hmm. Show enough, show has. I mean, I think it's like that, what was it on Fresh Prince? Mind your business, just mind your business. I think that we need to go back to that statement. And Leave people alone.
Yeah, leave people alone. I mean, what difference does it make whether he was or wasn't? It makes no difference. And by the way, I'm good friends with him, and I would say that I haven't seen anything around me. But at the same time, like,
I'm talking about Ray J.
Yes.
We don't want to make people.
Ray is the homie. He's a good friend of mine. Never seen anything like this. This is just like, why are we even wasting our time talking about it? It's just ridiculous. But when it comes to other celebrities, bringing up other celebrities, like, what is the freaking point? Like, if you want to say something, like, you know, mind your business. If they feel like they want to come out and say something, then let them say something. But otherwise, mind your business.
And she's mad shady because how are you going to shade Suge Knight but then be upset that when they brought up Jamie Foxx, she was like, no, 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 I've never seen anything about Jamie Foxx. Girl, bye.
Well, I never seen nothing about Ray J, so bye.
All right, well, we also have the results from last week's buzzer meter question, which was, should Dennis Rodman be the U.S. ambassador?
Hell no.
I voted yes, but, you know. All right, 21% said yes. 71% of you guys said no, and 7% said undecided.
Who said yes?
Undecided.
Listen,
Dennis Rodman should even be a U.S. citizen.
Oh! Ouch!
Jay has spoken.
Dang. I apologize, Dennis. I was a big fan for a while.
For a while.
Listen, this is my thing. He's trying to get his life in order. He's trying to get his PR going on. You know,
he's trying to get his life in order.
He's trying.
Clearly, he made friends with the North Korean.
And then two days later, they wanted to bomb us.
That's step one of AA.
They wanted to bomb us the whole time he was there. No, that didn't change because Dennis Rodman showed up.
But listen, this is my thing. He was also trying to get us a black pope. So I'm not mad at Dennis right now. We didn't get it, but he was trying to get a black pope.
Well, I guess not me.
So listen, I'm okay with Dennis right now.
Oh, Dennis.
We could have a black pope, though. There's been plenty of cardinals that have been up that have been black that people have wanted to get it. It's all up to who's in the actual cardinal.
Dennis Rodman ain't going to change. Dennis Rodman on your team is not going to help you get in anywhere.
It helped the Bulls get a championship.
Well, other than
Bam.
That. And when was that? And when was that? How many years ago was that?
You were
just being birthed.
But I also want to say, I forgot one thing. I got to make sure I give a shout out to Bam in the Booth, who's joining us tonight as well. Bam in the Booth.
Bam.
Say what's up, Bam.
What up, what up?
All right, so Jesse, Courtney, you're going to start us off this week with the trending topics.
We've got a lot of trending topics going on this week. All kinds of wonderful things happening out there. Well, not on the highest note to start off, but it is sort of a cautionary tale. We have Ahmad Givens, a.k.a. Real, from Real Chance of Love on VH1 back in the day when reality shows were kicking it off. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he found out that he is in stage 4 colon cancer.
Oh. Wow.
He was in January. He was sick, thinking he had the flu, went to the hospital. They ran tests over a period of weeks and discovered he is actually in stage 4.
That's crazy.
Cancer. And it's scary because stage 4 is very advanced and it's spreading all over his body at this point. So he is very ill. Send out some prayers and some hope for him. And he's pushing forward and figuring out what treatment should be at this time.
And for everyone else at home, take yourself to the hospital. Really, like it's time that guys got sick of like being afraid of like, oh, they're going to put something up. Like, who cares? No. Like they're going to put something up your or else what's going to happen? You're going to be dead. And you're going to by the time you go in and you find out that it happens, it's too late. So hopefully this is a cautionary tale for you and you know. Yeah. You know, take yourself
and he's pretty young for colon cancer.
Hell yeah.
From what we can tell for 32. So I don't know what his family history was or what have you, but know your family history, find these things out, go to your doctors when you're sick, even though, you know, mama used to tell you, you know, just go to sleep. It'll be fine. Cause my mama told me that all the time. Sometimes you got to listen to your body and be like, this might be something else and get it checked out. Sooner.
And basically, and also with what Aaliyah said is that black people don't tend to go to the doctor so much.
We
so we definitely need to make sure we do
for
that.
For sure. You know,
everyone,
take care of that
people.
Body.
Just people in general.
Cause I know I ain't been to the doctor.
Hopefully some of that Obama
don't be scared of the doctor. Don't be scared of the doctor.
Don't be afraid of the doctor. All right, and moving on. So we have the Simmons sisters back in the news. They are doing some exciting and wonderful things. Miss Angela Simmons has launched her fashion line called Angela by Angela Simmons. She's got a cool video online right now. It's a lot. It's in black and white to Mary J. Blige remix of Mary J. Blige Real Love, which I thought was kind of hot.
It was sexy.
Yes, it was really sexy. Yeah. It's a new look for her. I think it's a little bit edgier than she has been in the past. It's not just hip hop, but you know, she's got a little high fashion going on in it.
It's
cool
a little
stuff.
Sporty too.
It's sporty because she had sweatpants with knee patches and all kinds of things going on. So ladies, check it out. Men, check it out.
And those girls are doing it because I was looking up online and they pastry generated $50 million.
Wow. Right.
That's just off of pastry. And now this line is definitely going to do something big.
Well, what I would say about Angela that I respect more than other artists that come out with their own line is that she went to school for fashion.
Yes, she did.
And she finished that and now she's putting out her line. So, like, I respect it a million times over, and it looks great.
Yes.
I wish that I honestly kind of wish that she wouldn't have used the name Angela, because I feel like sometimes when you attach your celebrity name to the brand, if your celebrity ship sinks, then so does your brand. But
with her, for some reason, I don't mind it. I don't know why.
Because she hasn't really been out in public like making a big Lindsay Lohan fit.
That's
true that. And she's been about the business from jump. So, like, it seems like she's a business-minded woman and she's on top
Hell
of herself. So I think it'll be
we
all
support
right.
you, Angela. You
and we're
thing.
Excited. So check the video out online. It's very cute. And her sister is making moves, too. Now, Vanessa's been acting for quite some time now, but she has landed her first major starring role in a film. The film is going to be called My First Loves. The director is Dominga Martin. She's a Brooklyn native. She's going to be working with a producer from Spike Lee's days back when he did his first 7 films. And actually, right now, they have a promo on Kickstarter right now because they're raising money for the film. So you guys check out Kickstarter, see if you want to donate to the film. It's a really interesting concept because she, in her pitch story for getting people to donate money, she has all her like storyboards out and what she's kind of going for. This woman is going to be a woman who's experiencing the different loves of her life at the time that she's supposed to be committing to her husband and wedding.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's sort of an interesting storyline. She'll be playing herself throughout those stages in her life. So she'll be playing a woman from the 80s, from the 90s, and from right now. So it'll be a cool little
interesting
story. So she's got some range.
And they've grown up to be some beautiful girls.
They
both
are
and
gorgeous. Gorgeous supermodels. Supermodels. Speaking of gorgeous, Halle Berry.
Just a round of applause for her.
I don't know. I mean, she's perfect in all
she
sorts
is.
Of ways. But she's also perfectly selling at the box office right now. Her movie The Call last week exceeded expectations by multi-millions of dollars. It made its money back in the first week. They made $17.1 million. It only cost $13 million for the movie to be made. And it was done mostly by women. Their audience was 62% women.
And they didn't expect it to beat out Jim Carrey and Steve Carell's new movie, Wonderstone.
They're behind.
And they're actually third place now with, and they said number one is Oz.
Yes.
Wow.
So
Burt Wonderlust only did like 10.9.
Yeah, they did like no money. And it probably cost like 30 million.
And the funniest thing, this was done by WWE Productions, who they're known for the Redbox movies, we say. But congratulations to them.
And it's all women, like in the sort of save the day roles, which never really happens in Hollywood. So it's kind of cool that worked out for her. And it's her their biggest hit since, I think they said Gothica.
10 years since X-Men.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, X-Men doesn't really count because she wasn't starring
But you know what?
But it was a big role.
I swear that's why she's
joining. But her, like, starring last one they said was Gothica.
I swear that's why she's joining back with X-Men.
Well, I mean.
She was like, well, I need to keep this role going.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. Keep it going, lady. I mean, she's moving into the next phase of her life.
How old is she?
She's in her late 40s.
I wish I looked as good as that late 40-year-old.
I'm just saying. I don't know what she's doing, but I need some of that Kool-Aid.
She's a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Woman.
And speaking of big movie franchises, Mr. Terrence Howard has finally spoken about his little tiff with Marvel. As you all may know or may not know, he was in the first Iron Man movie. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he was not in the second. And there was always little birdies saying little different things about what went down. But he went on a radio show in an interview this week and he said, you know what? They came at me with a 3-picture deal. And on the second picture, they tried to come back and take my money away. So apparently he was one of the highest paid actors on that first movie. He got $4.5 million and it was supposed to increase to $9 million in the second film. Mm-hmm. But they came back and said, actually, we only want to give you $1 million because we don't think that you're that important. So he said, you know what? I'm not taking $1 million. I'm worth more than that. And he walked. But they tried to make it seem like he was a problem on set.
Now, Jay, you worked with him.
Oh, everybody looks at me. Everybody looks at me.
Shoot to that statement.
Shoot to you.
I know.
You know, what's interesting is while we got to sit and, you know, work with Terrence, and obviously it was my first time meeting him, Terrence talked about this experience. Mm-hmm. And he talked about some of the better moves he's made in his career and some of the moves that weren't as great. And he also talked about, you know, knowing when he needed to stand on something and when he needed to fight for what he believed in.
Yeah.
And you know, this is one of those situations. And he wasn't, Terrence was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a person on that set who could say that, you know, and he was in the middle of another job. He was in the middle of doing Law and Order Los Angeles. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So he was going from one set to another set while we were filming. And he was awesome. You know, he told great stories and was easy to be around and was there with us the entire time.
But
so,
he's basically saying he's more upset with the actors because he felt like Gwyneth Paltrow and all of them, they were supposed to kind of like bind together and stay with the set price that they were going to be offered.
Right.
And I guess Gwyneth and a bunch of the other ones, they went back and they kind of lowballed them the deal with Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, is that a common thing in Hollywood for actors to stand by with that? Or is it kind of like, dude, this is Iron Man, like, we need to stay a part of this franchise?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, there's obviously examples out there when you look at the cast of Friends or when you look at the cast of Seinfeld. You know, there's obviously examples out there of it. I don't think it happens in features as much. Because typically it's always a big name, except for mm-hmm. when you're talking about, you know, Marvel or, you know, when you're talking about X-Men or the Avengers series and stuff like that. But, you know, If a group of actors get together and decide that they want to stand together and fight, you know, they do. And if some of them pull back, so it's almost like crossing a picket line.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Who's going to be the first one? Right.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. And in this case, look, when you look at the Avengers, when you look at Iron Man, there's probably a lot of people that would cross the picket line.
Yeah.
A lot of people who would cross it. Some people wouldn't even go look at the picket line. They would be like, I'm not even going over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and they said that he went back to, or in the interview, he said that he went back to school and got his chemical engineering degree and he wanted to, grow diamonds.
Oh. No, he is. And actually, he sounded very intelligent to me in the interview. I actually got more respect for him from that interview than any interview I heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, in the end, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So he did what he had to do, and he still has a career. So obviously he did the right thing for
working
him at
for
the
him.
Time.
Right.
So
yes. Get it. Make it work for you.
Get it, Terrence.
Speaking of interviews, we want you guys to help us out by going on to iTunes and downloading our interviews. So all you got to do is go to iTunes and up in the little search box, type in Black Hollywood Live, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and then leave us a comment. Please show us some love on iTunes. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
But all right, so this week in music, there's a lot of drama going around.
Yes, there is.
There's some good stuff going out. I mean, I feel some people at the tail feel a little differently about this.
We're going to let you know.
Rihanna,
we'll let you know.
We all remember she did the 777 tour last year. It was 7 days, 7 different stops for her 7th studio album, Unapologetic. She took a film crew with her. 250 fans and journalists were on a 777 Boeing with her. And apparently it's a documentary, and Fox picked it up, and it's going to be released May 6th. I'm excited for it because I enjoy Rihanna.
Courtney does not.
Not excited. But you know what? I am going to say this. I feel like this is going to be better than the Beyoncé documentary. said it.
Well, I think that there'll be more.
I think there'll be more revealed. She'll let us more into her life.
Yeah, I was going to say, she'll be more revealed. From the clip I saw, she already seems like she's, you know, really willing to go there with us, where I didn't necessarily feel that way with Beyonce. Jay, did you see the Beyonce clip off of HBO?
I've seen clips of it. I didn't actually see the whole documentary.
You didn't miss much. whatever you saw in the clip,
you pretty much know, yeah, everything.
All you're missing is some scenes of birds.
I refuse to believe that. I mean, she's a very talented girl, and that thing did pretty well for HBO, so there had to be some good stuff in there.
No, well, she's talented, and she can bring the ratings, absolutely. But what we're saying is that the what she brought to it and what she was willing to expose about her own personal life was just really... not very much.
And I choose Beyonce over Rihanna any and every day. But
Rihanna's more willing to let us into her life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she shows us how naked she can be on a daily basis on Instagram.
Yes.
So why not?
All right. Well, so speaking about getting into celebrities' personal lives, have y'all heard about Joss Stone?
Yeah, yes! That is crazy. It's crazy.
So there are two guys, Junior Bradshaw, age 32, and Kevin Liverpool, 35, apparently had a murder plot against Joss Stone. This is really serious. In 2011, they were arrested by Stone's house with a samurai sword, a lock knife, and a hammer in possession.
Which one would you rather have used on you first?
It's like Clue, right? So they deny all charges. However, a detective found in Liverpool's house a diary. And in the diary, it has everything about where Joss was born, where she lives, a bio about her life. And then there's a list, and there are numbers. And the numbers 1, 2, and 3, and they stand for... 1 stands for Rob, 2 stands for Wet, which in London means stab, and then 3 stands for Death. So, allegedly, the two wanted to harm Stone basically because she has ties with the royal family.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which doesn't make sense because there were other celebrities in it. One was Jay Ellis. I'm just kidding.
Shout out to the royal family.
Wow, that was really loud.
That was really crazy.
It was Beyonce, R. Kelly, randomly. It came out of nowhere. I mean, that mad at R. Kelly?
That was a random one. Definitely.
No, Girls Aloud.
They're all random.
And Eminem. And Chris Brown.
Good luck getting to Eminem.
They're denying everything. I don't know. This is kind of really crazy for Joss. Joss hasn't really spoken out too much about it. She's
probably scared.
Well, so she said, I never used to lock my house, set my alarm. She's like, but I've moved. I've got high security involved now. And, I mean, this is really serious. And, I mean, there was another murder plot on Justin Bieber. The person wanted to castrate and strangle him.
Yeah.
And then Victoria Beckham, this one was crazy, too. She was forced into hiding in 2000 because someone wanted to kidnap her son Brooklyn, and then as she was performing with the Spice Girls, someone had a sniper red laser dot on her.
That's crazy.
So they had to clear the stage.
I mean, they killed the president over Jodie Foster. I mean, anything happens.
Yeah, and I noticed that I looked that up too. I was trying to figure out like who else had murder plots, and they said in addition to that, it was Miley Cyrus in 2008, Sandra Bullock in 2010, Russell Crowe in 2005, Shawn Johnson, the Olympic gymnast, in 2011, and John Cryer from Two and a Half Men in 2010.
It's also a bigger problem than people realize. There's a whole celebrity division downtown in Los Angeles, anyways, and even for not celebrities, just for regular people, like I've been stalked. Like it happens, and they will kill you.
I mean, but why?
Aaliyah has spoken. We need a sound effect. Thank you. Thank you, Bam in the booth. We needed that.
James, do you have any crazy experiences where you've been kind of like, ooh?
No. I'm kind of off the map, too. So at least I like to think I'm off the map, but apparently...
It don't matter.
Hide your wife, hide
apparently,
your kids.
Yeah, the map don't matter.
maybe I'll send the guy who masturbates on my balcony to your house.
No, I'm good with that.
Well,
he's
at Chris Brown's house. Chris Brown, is he? Yeah, Chris Brown.
He's at Chris Brown's right now, but after he's done there, I'll send him your way.
I'll pass.
I think everyone in this
no one in my building, no one in my building will appreciate that.
No one at this table appreciates that, so I was okay.
Chris Brown appreciates that?
No, he sure didn't. He went out and almost beat...
No, he appreciates if I send him to his house instead of...
Well,
you know that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy that people take it that far. I'm
like, first of all, Joss Stone out of everybody.
But they obviously have
she seems so lovable.
They're
crazy.
These are obviously mentally disturbed people. They aren't like normal people, obviously.
I mean, they look real mad crazy. In that picture.
All right, we're over this. Let's move on to something more interesting.
Something more pleasant, The Great Gatsby, an amazing American tale that we were all forced to read in high school,
I loved it.
Oh!
Thank you. High five.
Long distance five.
All right, so
the women loved it.
It was a time of extravagance and, you know, luxury. Well, guess what? Jay-Z is going to be co-producing the soundtrack to The Great Gatsby. So just round of applause for that.
Yeah.
Listen, that man is producing a lot of Annie and this. He's got an active year.
But he's working with Baz Luhrmann, who did Moulin Rouge and also, remember, Romeo and Juliet?
I do.
I mean, Jay-Z said, he's like, this is like legendary for me to be able to work with him. I mean, when he works on soundtracks for movies, he basically takes the music and makes it a character. The music is a part of the acting. Yes. So, I mean, this is really for me, it's legendary of Jay-Z, like, to be able to step into this role. Annie, like, two classics.
They're going to transform something amazing.
Mm-hmm,
I cannot wait.
And just for a hip-hop artist to be doing this, I mean, that's just amazing within
itself. Yeah, hell yeah.
And I love that he said, Baz Luhrmann was saying how he likes the idea that the jazz age was sort of something that F. Scott Fitzgerald introduced in Gatsby, and he's like, hip-hop is sort of that for our age, and that's why he brought Jay-Z on. So, like, that idea of merging those two ideas is exciting to me, and I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Me too.
Ditto.
You know what would be really interesting
is if
Jay-Z would get nominated for an Oscar for some of the music.
That would be huge.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I hope so.
I mean, if it doesn't, I'm going to be disappointed. If it doesn't bring it that thick,
it's coming out in May, and you know how they like to forget about movies that come out anytime before like that's October for the Oscars.
But I'm sure that Jay's going to make it so incredible that they can't forget.
Hopefully, and if it's still on the
maybe
radio.
Maybe that
and
Annie.
You never know. Double.
You never know.
Double films.
You never know.
Okay, well, next we got his wife, Beyonce. Like we said, she's running the damn world all over the place.
Why are you laughing, Jay?
Yeah, why are you laughing? What was that?
Y'all been on Beyonce a lot today.
She's all over the place.
How can you not? He would be on Beyonce a lot today if it was up to him.
I mean, literally, Beyonce is on every blog. She's forcing herself, and whether you like her or not, she's coming to your house.
Yeah, she's doing her thing. Literally. I don't know if forcing is the right word. I think she's doing her thing. I think people are asking for her, and she's stepping up and being there for her fans. She's delivering, you know?
And she's delivering with being the new face of H&M. Smart choice. I mean, everyone, Nicki Minaj to the Kardashians, they all have their own clothing line. I think this is the smartest play.
So
Beyonce is going to be the new line of H&M's clothing line. She actually helped design all the product for it. As you can see, she styled, well, I don't know if she styled it herself, but she helped design the pattern shorts, the blouse, and even the accessories that go with it.
Wow.
So I'm excited. She also is going to be releasing a new song with the commercials called Standing on the Sun, so we're going to get another Beyonce. Also, she's on the cover of Shape magazine looking banging.
When does she not look banging, though? I've never seen a bad Beyonce picture, to be honest with you.
I mean, but ever since that GQ photo shoot, I'm like, to me, that was just the most epic Beyonce photo shoot ever. But so basically in this, she basically talks about how she gained 57 pounds while she was pregnant. I was waiting for a side face.
I never saw that. Where did I see that?
57 is like, all right, you did all right.
But where was it, though? Did you ever see her looking 57 pounds?
Because she went into hiding. Like, we didn't
you mean because she had a surrogate?
In that last, like, 2 months. She did not have a surrogate. We are not going
there.
You're
hearing the rumors. Here we go.
We are not going there. She had that baby. It was all in her boobs when it was over.
I just want to know how you dance to run the world.
We're not talking about that no more.
Oh! I want to know how you danced around the world.
Well, she said, read the magazine, because she actually talks about she had scheduled a show 3 months after her birth date, and she said, I will never do that again. She said, she had to go into like commando mode and go crazy.
But your first pregnancy is different too, so maybe she did. I mean, I don't know.
She ate lettuce and ran on a treadmill.
So that is the April.
I'm trying to get there. That's why I feel it. I'm going to get there. I'm going to just be like, I'm just going to eat lettuce and just run. But anyway, go on.
Run like Beyonce. All right, so there's that. That's the April issue, so make sure you guys pick it up. And then also, I don't know if y'all heard the new song that Beyonce dropped the other day.
It's called
Bow Down. Yep. And it also has another song attached to it called I've Been On, which was in the commercial at the Super Bowl.
We got a little sample for it right now.
The beat is by Hit-Boy.
Kind of reminds me of Nicki Minaj a little bit when I first heard it.
It's like Nicki meets Rihanna.
Yeah.
Until she sings.
Right.
Because we know Nicki and Rihanna can't sing like that.
Right.
So it's a little different sound for Beyonce. It's very gritty, and she's getting a lot of feedback for it. Now, before I get into the feedback, what do you guys think about it? Good, bad?
Well, it's funny because it's probably going to go into some of your feedback. I don't know if you heard about the Rush Limbaugh comment.
Oh, yes, I did.
So Rush basically said that he feels that, you know, now that Beyonce has her man who makes all the money, that she's promoting women to bow down to their men, when previously she had kind of said, you know, women need to be strong. So I, you know what?
You agree with that?
I, you know what? I'm going to say this. After I listened to Rush Limbaugh's comment, and I never agree with him, by the way.
Oh, please do not tell me you're about to agree with him right now.
I'm going
to
say that, like, you know what? She did kind of switch it up when she has been saying that women need to be strong and women need to do all these things. And now
why can't women do it all? I would like to have a job where I can pay all my own bills and bow down to my man. Next.
Well, I'm just saying.
Obviously, Courtney, like,
I don't know what the hell Rush Limbaugh was listening to, but he obviously was not listening to Beyonce's song. But if you want to make the stretch to say that somehow that song said that, even though in the song she specifically says, I'm not his, just his little wife, like, she blatantly says that, how does it make you weak and telling women not to be strong by saying you love on your husband and you raise him up and you'll do whatever you can for him? Like, I don't understand. Why does that make you weak?
Why is that a different message for women?
That's not a different message for women. She's not saying stop paying your bills and make sure he can pay them for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. And I'm not saying all that, but I am saying that in that comment that he did make, she is taking on a lot of her man's name. Like, now she's like, you know, she literally...
She's married to him. That's her man.
Why is that a bad thing?
Because she's supposed to be so strong and independent.
She is strong, but she's saying, she's basically sitting here saying, the Mrs. Carter. Like, come on, first of all, hand clap for them even being in a relationship in Hollywood.
I'm happy about them.
And exactly. And not only that, to be Beyonce, Jay-Z sure wasn't up on that stage at the Super Bowl. It was the damn Beyonce show. So yeah, for one time in her career, she wants to acknowledge her marriage finally and say, here's the Mrs. Carter tour. Now, the only other thing is, the H&M line, it's called H&M by Mrs. Carter.
Mrs. Carter, the
but
tour.
That's what she is at the end of the day.
Yeah, so what?
What do you think, Jay?
First of all, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think that what Beyonce is doing is something that, you know, what we don't see in entertainment a lot is we see people rock their separate names. We see people go out and do stuff together. But to see, like, Will and Jada step out together, you know what I mean, and their names are on things together, and she is still a very strong Black woman, you know what I mean, who gets up and handles her business and EP shows and acts in them and is covering scripts, and while her dude is doing her thing. And I think it's the same thing with these two. I mean, I have a mother who's very, very strong and very independent and a hard worker, but at the end of the day, like, her dude is her dude.
Thank you.
And they make a house together. You know? And I think it's a beautiful thing when you see two people at that stature, that kind of money, that kind of fame, and they're like in it together like that.
Yeah, no,
that's a big statement.
That.
Well, all right.
Can I say something real quick?
Yep. Yes.
Rush Limbaugh's an ass.
Thank you.
Oh, he is. Okay, he is that.
I mean,
I'm not disagreeing with you there.
I'm not a diehard Beyonce fan, but for the record, for him to say that because he makes some money, he's an ass. Beyonce is worth $350 million.
Right. Same as Izzy.
Sit your ass down, Rush Limbaugh, and shut up.
Basically, we can do it all. Women can do it all.
Hold up. Next. Other celebrities did step in and were positive. T.I. and Tiny stepped in. And basically, T.I. said, look, as long as you're being honest as an artist, if you walk in today and say, hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, Rihanna puts all this stuff out. You know what? I'm Beyonce. Bow down, bitches. Like, as long as she's honest to herself as an artist, her fans are going to like it. Right. And so there's nothing wrong. But then, damn, Keisha Cole has to go on damn Twitter and try to be relevant again, talking about, first of all, you want to promote women's rights, and now all of a sudden you telling people to bow down, shake my head, chicks stay shooting the shit. Girl, bye. Go tweet some more. I can't. We'll keep
that's unnecessary. I don't know why she's doing that right now.
Well, I don't know why she's doing it.
Is her new album coming out or something?
Well, she got an album.
Does she have a new one coming out? Because maybe that's why
she's... She needs one.
Beyond that, you know who needs a new album is the Black Eyed Peas.
He's got something to say. Jay's got something to say.
Like, no, I just... Listen, I just think it's... I think we might be at a point where we've lost what family is. And I think we're at a point where, like, we're seeing two people again on an amazing level who are showing us what family is. And they're doing it in the best way they know how in their professions. And for a woman to, you know, to be able to say that about her dude, again, she's still headlining her own tours, doing her own thing with H&M, making her own money, if you will, stupid amounts of money. Crazy. You know what I mean? And I think they're showing us that what two people could do if one is a mechanic and one is a school teacher.
Right.
Thank you know you, what Jay. I mean? And they could still be proud of each other and still rep that I'm the best mechanic and the best school teacher out there, but I'm still my girls and I'm still my mans. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, and I... That's crazy to me.
Keisha Cole, Rush Limbaugh, go, that's a hoe sit down moment.
Keisha and Rush wants to be a couple.
Bye. All right, so then the final topic is the Black Eyed Peas. I know last year you guys heard that they were talking about replacing Fergie with Ashanti. That's a hoe sit down moment in its own damn self. I mean, maybe Keisha Cole's because she's looking for work right now. I don't know. But this is totally false. Perez Hilton tried to bring it up again this week. Will.i.am spoke out. No, Fergie's our family. She wants to have a baby. We respect that. We're going to take a break for a while. Will.i.am's working on his new album, which is about to drop. Why are we making this?
But do you think that's just a little cover up? Because they had also said at one point that Nicole from Pussycat Dolls was also being considered.
For a little while,
so,
and they said temporarily.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that maybe that's just like, okay, let's cover this up
it's
really
not
quick because
the Black Eyed Peas started out with the three of them, the guys, and then they were cool, but it wasn't like popping. When Fergie came in, Fergie made the Black Eyed Peas. It's just like Gwen Stefani makes No Doubt. They all are a huge, intricate part of it, but at the end of the day, that is the face of it. You put Ashanti in there, it's going to be something... It's like the Pussycat Dolls. Nicole Scherzinger, you should have stuck with the damn Pussycat Dolls. That's now true. You want to veer away, and it ain't working. It ain't hot.
It ain't hot.
Black Eyed Peas, love you. And stick with your Fergie.
No,
pick her up in a year.
You got some news and gossip for us, right?
Well... I don't know how newsworthy or gossip-worthy. Michael Jordan paternity case has been dismissed. The woman who was saying it, Pamela, she's now dismissed it. Her 16-year-old son, she's saying, is her ex-husband's. And I'm not sure there's a lot more to say about it. Jordan has filed his countersuit, stating that she's making false claims.
Yeah. We hit it.
Yeah.
Finally,
okay.
It got dismissed.
You know who's owing a porn star now is Bow Wow. Bow Wow is not bowing down to the porn star. He's refusing to pay the $80,000 that she would like him to pay for using a clip of her footage for another video in his Drink in My Cup video. And he's saying he was sued, and he did lose the lawsuit, but he's saying he's not going to pay on that.
Well, he's basically trying to connect it to the mixtape game. And, I mean, I'm kind of in between because basically what they say about mixtapes is, okay, so all these celebrities can sample our music, put it in a mixtape, give it away for free, and say, oh, you know, we aren't getting paid for that. We aren't making money from it. Yes, you are making money from it. Every single time Lil Wayne releases a mixtape, that makes him hot on the scene. So, yeah, they may not be paying for that, but they're waiting for the album that you are going to drop. So it is adding to your character. Now, and Bow Wow says with this video, he didn't create the video. A third party, I don't know, on YouTube, if you go on YouTube, you can see a lot of people like make mashups of their favorite artists and make the videos. He says someone did that. I'm like, well, where the hell did they get the clip?
But he still lost the lawsuit. So at the end of the day, whether he did it or not, he lost the lawsuit. There was something there that said that he should lose that lawsuit. It sucks. Like, I get his point of it, and he has a valid point, but at the same time, the lawsuit's been had. You might as well pay rather than get in trouble.
And he didn't show up to the court date with his lawyer as well, right? That's what they were saying. They didn't even show up to the court date.
Speaking of court dates, a court date that I never think will happen is that Omarosa is now suing LaToya Jackson because... She did make a statement that was saying something along the lines of maybe she'll Russell will do anything. She'd even pull the cord on her ex-fiance, which I think was a joke and intended as a joke. But you guys watch the show regularly. I know you guys really want to weigh in on this.
I mean, I don't know if it was really a joke because, first of all, you watch Celebrity Apprentice.
I watch it.
Yeah.
All right.
She was totally fake crying.
Yeah. She milks it.
Awful.
Rest in peace, Michael, but Omarosa definitely milks to death. I'm sorry.
Who is this woman?
I think that...
How are they ever together?
Well,
I thought, honestly, I saw
him all the time. He lived right by me.
He seems like a real person.
And I saw him all the time. He seemed like a real person. Because I saw him all the time. Like, he lives right, like, really close. And I see him in the front lawn all the time. Or I did see him in the front lawn all the time. Fixing stuff up around the house. And I think that she probably gave him, like... I don't know. It's sad. I don't want to talk about
she
it.
Gave,
well,
what was that?
Yeah, what was
she
that? What? What did she give?
Well, we don't need no lawsuits on this show.
Right, what did
she
give?
Yeah, we don't need no lawsuits on this show.
No, well, I wasn't mad at LaToya for defending herself.
No.
I mean,
I think she was joking, though.
No, she wasn't joking. She was upset.
She was upset.
I don't think she actually felt that she pulled the plug out of her thing, though.
No,
so therefore, the lawsuit seems...
No, stupid. I think that she said something to get underneath Omarosa's skin, yeah, and she knew that that would be
but
the case.
But at the same time, all the tricky stuff that Omarosa does do, I mean, that is a comment that could be like, I mean, you know what, honestly, when I didn't even know that her and Michael Clark Duncan were together, and then when I found out...
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was like, when I found out, I was like... What is this woman doing? She meddling somehow.
But she's actually smart, though. Let's not forget that Omarosa, as weird and as bitchy as she is, let's not forget that she's actually an educated woman and that she does have some stuff going on.
Yeah.
So let's put that there. And, yeah. Anyway.
And that's smart. About it.
That's about let's it. Just, next
I'm
subject.
I'm Latoya Jackson that degree. She doesn't get sued.
I don't think that she'll win regardless.
With her management fee that she's putting on her kids, I'm sure she can
stop
pay for that.
You know what? Leave that alone. Let's leave that alone. Okay, let's talk about the History Channel. Let's talk about some history. Okay. The History Channel is doing a series called The Bible. And in it, they have an actor that looks strikingly resembles Obama, and this character is playing Satan. So the question is, was it mocked intentionally after Obama or not? They put it out in a statement saying that it was utter ridiculousness and that that's not the case, and that this man right here has also been cast several times in multiple biblical epics as Satan. So apparently he's typecast as Satan. But and before, they're also saying that those acting roles that he did was previous to becoming our president. So they're saying it's nothing to do with it. But at the same time, if anyone watches the History Channel, I will say that it's all based on conspiracy theories. And they probably, in the back of their head somewhere, were like, you know what? I know the conspiracy theory people will love this story. And I feel like they probably hired him for that reason, even though they're saying otherwise.
I think the biggest case of this is just portraying Jesus as always being light-skinned, right, and to even put the devil as darker. And I think that's where people...
But do you not... Excuse me.
It looks like...
Hands, show of hands.
Yeah, it looks like Obama in 25 years.
Yeah, in 25 years. After he's had...
I mean, there's no...
Smokes.
Not even a doubt. I would say, why is Obama wearing that hood?
he went in for the role.
Yeah, I thought the makeup artist was obviously trying to play a joke. Because the actor himself does not look anything like that.
Yeah,
he looks like
a
white man, like a Frenchman.
He
like
does, yeah. Man.
Let's continue about white, half white, half black jokes. Tiger Woods is now in a relationship.
Tiger Woods, you're a joke.
With this lovely woman who's also won a gold medal for downhill skiing racing.
Lindsey Vonn.
And they're saying that possibly the relationship is just to show that Tiger is a stable man, and now he can be in a relationship, and it won't be a problem. What do you guys think?
You got beat with a golf club. You'll never be a stable man again. No.
I think that Tiger just has a type.
No one cares.
No one cares. Yeah,
this is number...
Right.
19.
I don't know, but speaking about jump-offs, I've got 3 jump-offs right here.
Ooh.
Oh.
That might sound okay. This is the cast for HBO show, The Jump-Offs. We've got Jay Teddy.
Hey,
what's going on?
What's going on?
We've got Eamon Joseph and Sean Riggs.
What's up?
What's going on?
How y'all doing?
Now, what do you guys think about this whole Tiger Woods thing? What do you guys say about him and his jump-offs?
Excuse me, it's actually a Cinemax show. HBO?
Right. Yeah.
You guys can correct me at any time.
It's okay.
So Cinemax, does that mean you're showing some skin? What you got to tell us? It's called jump-offs. We're showing skin. We're on Cinemax. Tell us the rundown.
We gotta make sure we get Eamon's volume up on his mic in the booth. There we go.
Okay, we good, right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a Cinemax show, so yeah, some skin.
How much skin of yours in particular are we going to see?
How much you want to see? I mean,
how much are we seeing? How much can we see?
How much will you see? You will see some
everything
skin.
Up to the bush and nothing else.
What do you want
to
see?
I'm just curious what I'm going to see.
What you're going to see, exactly. Well, you're going to see a lot, but as far as skin, yeah, you're going to see skin, but you're going to see some excellent storylines as well.
Where did the storyline come from?
Yeah.
Zane, the writer, best-selling author, she came up with the concept of 5 men sort of seeing black men. We're fraternity brothers, and we're living in Miami, so we're all professionals. So it's like after college, but still having the bond of the
on all of our different situations that that are going on in our lives. So each character is different. It's so much individuality that you're gonna get from it. You know, like you said, you're gonna see some skin, but at the same time, you're gonna see a great show.
A lot of skin.
So yeah. Obviously, through these different characters, I mean, give us a little bit about each character and how you all are different from each other as far as handling the jump off situation.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you can speak whenever you like to.
Well, let's actually start from the right to the left. Let's go with you. You tell us about your character.
All right, my character, his name is Ernest Bishop, and basically he gets introduced in episode 2. Basically, he gets out of jail after spending 5 years in jail for money laundering for campaign contributions for his brother to become mayor of Miami, which is played by Joe Torre. So basically, when he gets out, he's trying to get his life back together, rekindle his relationship with his ex-wife that he lost when he went into prison, and, you know, bonding with his friends, you know, all of his friends, his frat brothers, they're pretty much there for him and helping him out. So he's just trying to pick up the pieces when he gets out, and he's going through a lot of trials and tribulations.
In these trials and tribulations, how many women does he end up sleeping with through the course of the season?
How many women that he ends up sleeping with? Well, you got to watch the show for that.
Oh. Yeah.
You
know.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your character?
My character is Dimitri Vance, and he's a football player. He's a quarterback. So kind of think of like Michael Irvin meets some of the sensationalism that's going on with Michael Vick. And but he's won like a couple of Super Bowls. He's been the MVP.
Does he get around as well?
Yeah, he gets around a bit. The name of the show.
Come on.
The name of the show is
he being modest?
He has a club that he calls the Jump Off. Mm-hmm. And in the club, they have different areas of the club that are monikers for each of his frat brothers. So, mm-hmm. for instance, you may have one of our brothers is playing by Damon Raven. He's the Gladiator. This is the Punani Smasher.
We want to hear from you. Yeah, we want to hear about that. The Punani Smasher. Let's hear about this Punani.
Punani
the quiet
Smasher.
Punani Smasher. Let's hear from you, man. Tell us about that.
That's a good segue. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a great segue.
Yeah, thank you.
The women are going
to
love you.
Well, he used Gillette to shave, too, just so you know.
Oh, boy.
So he's ready.
I've been getting it for taking off my facial hair.
Smooth face and all.
Yeah. So the name of my character is Spencer Martinez, and he's the... he's a radio station talk show host, and he hosts a show with a young lady that, you know, they have their own separate storyline and stuff like that. But basically, the show is about sex, love, relationships, anything else you can fit in between.
Okay.
And, you know, he's one of the frat brothers with them. And
he has sex with a lot of women on the show, too.
You know something? You know,
they're getting all the diplomacy going on.
No. There's no diplomacy. You know what it is my character is, I would say, of the three of us, I'm probably the most grounded. I am the most.
He is disagreeing.
All right, hold on a second. Those are college nicknames that we all have for each other. His college nickname was the Jump Off, and his college. What was your college nickname, Sean?
That Prince.
What?
Prince of Darkness.
There you go. All right. Anyway, but So anyway, those were college nicknames. But for now, you know, I have a separate storyline with my talk show host and blah blah blah. But I'm dating somebody, and you know, things get mixed up.
The great thing about all of them, everybody ends up falling in love. Everyone, you know, there's a complex. There's a, you know, a through line to the stories, the beginning, middle, and end to the first season. So you do get to see the guys be promiscuous with some of the gentlemen, and then you see. Loving relationships, or at least trying to.
It does give women hope.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think it does. No, I do. I think it does, because not only that, I mean, they're showing
Nothing's going to give women hope.
Yeah.
Ouch.
They're showing us.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Did I just open up another topic?
That might be another topic. Yeah.
Why don't we just go ahead with that? I was going to say something. Don't worry. Go ahead.
How
exactly would you explain that? I'm sorry, I'm not doing your job, am I? Go ahead.
What do you want to know? I mean, I'm just saying, it's a general statement. Just no hope, period. There's just no hope out there, you know.
All right, so for your fans...
Just look on Twitter and Facebook all day.
But your fans who want to see the show, what time does it come on? What day does it come on? Like, how do they find out about the show?
Premieres next week, actually. Friday, March 29th at 11 p.m.
Ooh. Okay. On Cinemax.
This is for grown folks, so they can't show it
the
before...
The grown is sexy.
They can't show it before 10 o'clock. So.
But no, all jokes aside, it shows it's a great depiction of black men... in their life, professional lives. It deals with, you know, heartbreak, how men really, you know, we don't really get to see usually how men go through a breakup, and then we have emotions. We cry. We think about suicide. We have problems with dealing with, you know, raising our children and being professional men and being respectful to the women in our lives. And, you know, so it's all of that stuff as well. But there's the sensuality as well. And
you guys should get Tiger Woods on the show.
Hey, Tiger would fit in well.
He'd fit in well. And the comment.
What was your guys' nickname, Tiger Woods?
The Tiger. He could keep the Tiger.
Actually, it's great
because there's a comment.
You know that Whitewood.
There's a common through line with all of us, and it's brotherhood. Essentially, it's about brotherhood. You know what I mean? And we find ourselves. Later on in life, you know, we kind of come into our own and stuff like that. But in college, we're all part of the same fraternity.
We help Tiger find his stripes. Yeah.
So you guys think the Tiger kind of gets a bad rap, probably?
I think probably Tiger does. Is one of the most prolific black men.
I say good for him.
I say
good for him. Go get it's you that Vaughn. What's your name, Vaughn? What?
Because he has a name and he is who he is, Tiger Woods.
Have you ever seen Tiger walk down the greens? He walks like a king. He
got swag.
He's at.
He got swag.
I like what he's doing.
Thank you guys so much for coming in,
and we'll be sure to tune into the show. And once again, how can your fans find you as well?
They can find us at menofthejumpoff.com.
Okay.
We have a website, menofthejumpoff.com, completely dedicated to the men on the show, to the five leading men on the show, and also a Facebook fan page, Zane's the Jump Off. They could tweet us at menofthejumpoff, at menofthejumpoff. Anything having to do with Men of the Jump Off or Zane's the Jump Off. Start searching.
Just search Zane. Start searching.
Or you could just punch in Eamon Joseph because he's cool like that. You know
I can
just
tell funny. He's the cool one in the crew.
Yeah.
I can see it.
That's just associated you with the players.
Well, thank you guys.
I want my $5.
We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
All right, and I also want to remind everyone, as you are watching this wonderful show of Black Hollywood Live, that you also should go to AfterBuzzTV.com as well. You can download any of your favorite shows that we have, an assortment such as Real Housewives of Atlanta, Scandal, The Americans, Walking Dead, and you can also leave your comments as well. You can leave your comments on iTunes, but you can be sure to download the shows on AfterBuzz TV. We have an assortment that I think capture any flavor, and I'm sure we will have the Jump Off on there pretty soon.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody.
We're jumping off that and on.
I got a lot of stuff for Hot Topics this week, or a couple of things that I think are pretty important. So our girl Jada Pinkett Smith, all right? So Jada, as we know, is profound and a very strong black woman, as we were mentioning before earlier, a little bit earlier. And there's, you know, we know that as people of color, the magazine industry does not necessarily represent us all the time. So Jada has said that in order for black women to be more represented, that maybe there should be some type of cross marketing, cross covers with white publications. So what she did was she did a mock of Cosmopolitan featuring Queen Latifah, and then she did an Essence cover featuring Charlize Theron. And she's saying, listen, you know, maybe we need to reevaluate this whole thing, and maybe we really need to go out there and promote cross covers. And I have to disagree with Jada. I know she's trying to sort of make a statement here, but I think that certain books have been historic for us.
Today, huh?
No, I'm just saying certain books,
Beyonce,
Essence, Jets.
Beyonce, Jada.
I know, what's up with me? No, I love Jada. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is necessarily, I don't think that putting a woman of Charlize Theron or Angelina Jolie should be on the cover of an Essence or a... You disagree?
I disagree. I
don't think so. I think that these books are historic and they were created to speak to black women and the black audience. And there's so few of them already. We already have plenty of Cosmos and People and Us Weekly and Vogue. There's not a lot of black publications for women.
Her point is, let's take the first step. And in that, I do agree with her. And I think that as long as it's relevant, like let's say Charlize Theron was doing a movie that was all relevant to black society, then yeah, why not? I mean, it would have to be relevant to black culture, right. But I am totally for it.
But do you think that the books will really sell?
Yes. I absolutely. They both look stunning on both covers.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference between one. But two, not only that, Essence magazine is going to ask Charlize Theron questions that she's probably never been asked before. And to be able to do that and give other celebrities that platform and chance, I don't know. I I like it. I think it's what we're doing here at Black Hollywood Live.
Right.
Jay?
Jay, you're nodding your head. What do you think?
I definitely think it's an interesting subject. I mean, you know, why not try it, you know? I mean, we can always go back, you know, if it doesn't work out. But I do think, I mean, her point is super valid.
Super.
And I think that how many other ways, where is it going to start? When are we going to, is there ever going to be crossover? A, mm-hmm. And B, you know, if there is, how do we start it?
And do you think that all books should be just crossover? Like there should not be any separation on defining a certain culture?
No. I don't think so. I think that, you know, Essence or Jet or any of those, they speak to a particular audience for a reason.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, going back to your point, you're right. Essence is going to ask questions to Charlize that she's never heard before. And I think it's interesting because Charlize or someone of that stature has black fans. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they hear the same questions over and over mm-hmm. again. And this is a chance to look at them in a completely different light. You know what I mean?
Like, imagine Gwyneth Paltrow. She's best friends with Beyonce. I want to know that story.
Here's Beyonce.
I want to know the story that Courtney feels because she's making faces over here. I'm curious to hear her take on it.
It's difficult because I have mixed feelings about it. Mm-hmm. I think that. Okay, I don't want to hurt nobody. Okay. Yeah, I just think that it on the cover is where I find the issue because the point of the covers is to sell magazines. And I think the magazines, even Essence, are already run not by black people. Right. So I think that speaking to black women specifically and the issues surround the whole point of covers is to sell.
Right.
And if you start putting white women on the cover of the magazine and that's what's selling, that's what's going to stay. Because that's what sells.
Right.
And who's making the money and who's behind all of that is what the issue... And the whole point of Essence gets completely lost.
And that's my point.
And
that
that's
my point,
why I have an issue with the cover. I think... Do I agree that there would be a fascinating story behind Gwyneth Paltrow
oh, sure.
and Beyonce's
yeah.
relationship or Charlize Theron? Like, definitely they'll get questions that they wouldn't get from other magazines. I definitely think they should be profiled. Like, I think those should be in the magazine. But I'm a little leery about the cover thing because I think we're putting ourselves right back in a situation where we already are, which is why those magazines were discovered to
I
begin
with.
Because money, money makes everything go round.
But
and
I mean,
was
not
part
to
of my
put
point.
Her on a white egg. Don't gotta be a white girl every month. It don't, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly. But every now and then, if the story's relevant.
It. Think about the publicity that magazine would get.
That's the point, though. And, if you do it once and it's like a
continue.
Banger and it sells
right.
for some reason because like she
but
has a wider
whole book
audience.
Ain't gonna be about Charlize Theron.
That's not the point, though. The point is if you do that one time and it shows the people that make the decision
that is
this
money.
Is because right
yeah.
now Essence is actually failing. Like they're not yeah. doing well. They're not making money. So if they put that and then the people that make the decisions are like, oh well, you know what? We had a 50% increase. Let's find ourselves another one. Like and put and I'm not saying it's a bad thing these women on the cover, but we're going to get lost in that because
yeah.
right now
yeah.
that money is still
yeah.
driving it, and the people that are running it aren't thinking like actually Essence
for
is
sure.
supposed to be about this,
they're
not
thinking
about
the
they're
money.
Thinking
for
about
sure.
money.
For
so
sure.
I just think that
that's
from a financial perspective, it's a downward spiral.
I agree.
That could
and
happen.
That was
very
part
fast.
Of my point. I mean, I think.
That.
Oh, Jake.
No. I agree with that 100%.
A culture run by money.
Well, speaking of culture. In New York, there's a big uproar right now because of the Stop and Frisk program. As we know, it's been historic where a lot of black men have been stopped, you know, walking around or driving if they fit a certain profile. Well, there's a big lawsuit that's taking place right now with the New York Police Department because of warrantless stops in high crime neighborhoods. Critics are saying that the Stop and Frisk program is unconstitutional and an invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, as a black man, I have been a victim of being pulled over.
Amen.
In a suit at that, and as I wear my blazers all the time.
I didn't even look threatening.
I didn't even look threatening. And, you know, I think that it's time that this is really, really, really brought to the forefront.
How on earth is this legal? I had no idea this was legal. Like, literally, they can roll through
There's
a neighborhood.
A
and
stuff.
I know racial profiling happens, mm-hmm. and it's technically illegal in most places. But you can actually stop somebody, empty their pockets, make them drop their purse and stuff yeah. on the floor and look. How is that even kind of, I don't understand.
It well, sounds like that sheriff from Arizona made this law.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
The one that's
yeah,
trying
I know,
to.
Yeah.
It sounds like the sheriff from Arizona made this law. This is absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, when does it stop?
Well, I mean, is it just New York? I mean, to be honest, I mean, I've been pulled every... I mean, where I'm from in Massachusetts, I was pulled over literally on a 3-week basis every day that I wore a hoodie.
Well, it's still profiling. I mean, it's still profiling, which is wrong.
So it's like,
but were you made to like get out of your car and they can pat you down and do all
aggressively,
of that? Like
aggressively.
I sure was, and I have video and photo to prove
that's
it.
That's insane to me. Like, I know that it happens like when it's not necessarily supposed to. I don't see. I just didn't know that there was an actual law that said. No,
I think we don't know how much actual laws are complete infractions on our personal privacy, and I think we don't know that. We won't know until they're executed,
well,
and it's going
to
keep coming up more and more.
We just don't push forward to care and change it.
Well, what the New York Police Department is saying is that they need to keep doing this because they feel like this has helped the crime decrease in the city. So they said it's actually the lowest it's ever been since I believe 1963.
Yeah.
They said it's at 414, where even in 2010, it was at 515. So they're saying the program is working. So that's the argument.
Los Angeles has had the lowest crime rate it's had since the 60s as well, and we're not stopping and frisking people.
Yeah.
And LAPD is...
Yeah.
LAPD. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
LAPD is the craziest police department I've ever dealt with.
And they don't have a stop and frisk law.
Yeah, I agree. You know? Listen, I think I'm glad that this is actually, you know, Reverend Al Sharpton is a part of it now, and he's doing some of the protesting. So, you know what? It might change now.
That's crazy.
I don't understand the posters. I'm sorry.
They're showing the skin color.
They're showing the skin color.
Because it's blacks and Latinos.
It's blacks and Latinos.
Most affected.
Speaking of another story involving a black person who is also getting in a lot of trouble, in Steubenville, Ohio, I'm sure you guys heard about this rape trial that's going on between two teenagers, Trent Mays and Malik Richmond, who have both been found guilty of raping a young, intoxicated 16-year-old girl. This is where I'm going to say social media has played a major role in this, outside of just the rape. But the two were at a party. A young girl who they're not giving the victim's name, but she was there partying with them. Apparently, she got really drunk, and the two boys took advantage of her, sexually assaulting her. They both are now registered as sex offenders for the rest of their lives, and they will have to be sentenced. They're both sentenced to 1 year minimum in youth correctional institute, with the determination for a longer sentence coming from the child services experts. Now, apparently what happened was, when the girl was drunk, one of the boys had her sprawled out on the floor. He was slapping his genitals against her face and parts of her body, and the other one was violating her with his hands. Trent Mays actually took a picture of this, sent it out to a bunch of his friends, tweeted it. So kids all around the school start seeing the information. And you know how that goes, word of mouth. Before you know it, it's crazy. And Trent actually tried to retract everything, because the young girl the next day had no recollection of what had gone on. So when she realized what had happened, she contacted Trent. You know, he got nervous about the situation and started trying to pull all the information back and saying that, you know, this didn't really happen, and there's video proof and Twitter proof and social media proof that it did. So these guys are going to have a really hard time for the rest of their lives. There's been a lot of sympathy that people are expressing, saying that maybe the sentencing was too harsh. But I don't know. I think if you're stupid enough... 16, 17, to do something like this.
Dude, do you know how often this happens?
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, most of the ones that I've known are football players or do some sort of athletic, and it's looked over by the coaches, by the principal, and the fact that the coaches and the principal even know about it and excuse it. No, these guys, I mean, we need to make a statement with these people.
Like, exactly.
My only point with it, though, that I definitely think, you know, this is a heinous crime. I mean, it's terrible. Kids should not be doing this. But they are young enough where do they need to be registered as sex offenders for the rest of their lives? Because think about how many stupid things. This is beyond stupid, but think how many things we've done that later on in life, as we get older, we realize, like, that was a really bad decision. I mean, unfortunately, these are the consequences
you
that
have
they have to suffer.
You have to scare people nowadays.
Mean, that's not going to go away for the girl. That's out.
But these
on
guys
the
will never be able to get a job,
and she will be depressed for the rest of her life.
No, and I feel you. It's a tough battle.
I kind of agree with him on this, but I feel like that eventually, like, there's a point when he can fight that back and try and get that taken back. But a point, like 10, 15, 20 years later, when he's finished with college and he's ready to get a job, he can go back in and fight that, and it will be removed probably.
Jay, what's your viewpoint on this?
Is this essentially a rape case?
It's a rape case.
I don't have anything to say. I think that the punishment is just. You don't.
But they didn't rape her, right?
I mean,
Well, they assaulted her.
No, they assaulted her. I mean, they've been
found guilty of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Right, but because they're underage and whatever, I don't know about the permanent for life thing.
I mean, in the end, I think also the media being, like, national media was very sympathetic to the guys. They were saying, oh, the poor football players, right. Their careers are over, their college scholarships will not come through now, and all that, like, saying how, oh, it's so sad, and you want to say for a minute, they are kids, and they did make a stupid decision, but at the same time, we live in a whole another world. You're now. Right. So I think maybe it's time that the harsher the punishment, maybe hey, that's the only way to make people stop.
I have a question, Bam Naboof.
Oh, Bam.
The issue, there's many issues with this, especially with social media. Yes, they're young, but when you do things like post pictures, those pictures does not go away.
Exactly.
So yes, they're 16 and it's going to affect them 15, 20 years from now, but things there needs to be something needs to happen, like the tweeting, the pictures, the sex scene. There's too many things that kids are allowed to do, and they don't realize the consequences that will come later on.
That's true.
And this is going to be able to. This is a lesson. It's a tough lesson, but they've got to learn, because although they're 16, that girl's nakedness is blasted everywhere.
It is.
Forever.
And then forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's probably on Instagram with one of those things, hoes be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also.
I think my body is.
Ohio has a legal definition of rape, which includes digital penetration. So that means that also with the social media portion.
Oh, I was like,
No, digital penetration meaning like
this
with
the mic right here.
Sent out the
that's
evidence.
That's not
out.
What I thought when you said that. I was like, what?
You're going to add on to something, right?
Well, I just think that, you know, sexual assault and rape is too big of a thing for, mm-hmm. you know, and if this, it's if you're stupid enough to tweet it and post it and you did it in the first place, I mean there's already you did it, but now you're dumb enough to tweet it and post it, you know, kids know right from right. A teenager, you know right from wrong,
right.
And you know that's wrong, right. You know what I mean?
Daryl, can you explain to me digital penetration? Because
just a little clearer.
Digital penetration.
Don't explain to me, though.
I will not explain. I don't. Yeah, close your ears. No, digital penetration is basically the use of a cell phone or a computer to post pictures. It's basically posting the pictures.
Sexually victimize somebody?
Sexually victimize someone and post those pictures, and it goes out to the mass media. So there's a couple states that actually have this as a law, and Ohio happens to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate for the boys, but it is what it is.
Just going back to what I was saying about my high school, I mean, there was a group of kids, and I'll never forget this, and the girl got the rough end of it in all aspects, actually. But she was called a slut all through high school. And these guys just got away with it. Like, this isn't, it's not fair. And especially, and we didn't even have Instagram or Facebook back then.
Right.
So, no, they, as young as you are, like, it's this needs to be a message so that more 15, 6-year-olds don't think, oh, well, we can get away with it.
She was unconscious.
Jesse, and to further go about that, you know, there was two girls who also posted on Twitter, and they were actually arrested because of the message.
Yeah, they threatened her.
Because they threatened her.
Yeah, they threatened a young girl afterwards.
Where are the parents at?
Right. Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. What is happening?
How so embarrassed do you think their parents are?
Yeah. So that's our news and gossip for the week. Jay, thank you for joining us. Where can your fans find you?
Thank you for having me. You can find me at J.R. Ellis on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can definitely find me Tuesday, 10 p.m. on BET, The Game, the 100th episode.
We will be there. Yeah. Aaliyah, where can your fans find you?
At Aaliyah Cruz with a K.
Courtney.
At Stuart Starlet, EWARTSTARLIT.
And DJ Jesse J.
And you can find me at Daryl Kristen on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure once again to go to www.blackhollywoodlive.com and answer our buzz meter question of the week. Should celebrities out other celebrities as being gay? Be sure to tune in next Friday for our next episode of Black Hollywood Live. This week, we'll see you then.
The views expressed here are those of the host only. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Daryl Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.